This episode of La Verdad Podcast is brought to you by our friend Sonia Figueroa of CSonia.com.
Hey, B Fig.
What's up?
What's my favorite thing to do in the summer?
Watch baseball.
No. You know, my favorite thing to do is barbecue and family get-togethers, but it's hard to do when I don't have a nice big backyard.
True, which is why we should be reaching out to our chica Sonia if you want to buy a house.
Yeah, actually, Sonia has a ton of experience in helping people find the right home, especially first-time buyers, over 12 years to be exact. So, if you're listening right now and you have the itch on buying or selling, you need to contact Sonia Figueroa. V-Fig, how can you do that?
Easy. Just visit www.csonia.com. That is www.seesonia.com. Or just search for her online. She also speaks Spanish.
Habla español, mi gente, and back to the show.
This is La Verdad Podcast.
Bueno, mi gente, we're back at it again with another episode of La Verdad Podcast, and this is your host, Christian, and I'm joined by...
Ethan on the mic, as always.
So we had a really busy-ass week and weekend, man. We've been...
The entire month is crazy. Our family is
I feel like we've been nonstop. Big shout out to Urban Pilon. We checked you out yesterday at the Barrio Arts Festival in Humboldt Park.
I feel so bad for him. He was out in the sun. He had no umbrella.
It was definitely a good time. We met a couple different artesanos and different painters around the area from the Humboldt Park area. We also hit up Ruido Fest on Friday, right?
Yeah.
And I got to see my favorite band, Cultura Profética, which was awesome. I haven't seen them in over 5 years. So it was a great feeling to be around the neighborhood, as well as checking out a festival that I never checked out before. And I know that the group, El Corillo, that's here with us today, they were actually at Ruido Fest, I want to say, last year or a couple years before that. So I'll go ahead and introduce them in a little bit. Before I do that, though, make sure that you guys go and like our Facebook page or any of our social media as at La Verdad LTD. We will really appreciate that. And if you're listening to the podcast or if you're watching a Facebook Live, go ahead and share it so that other people can hear about our awesome guest that we have today. So,
oh, wait, but hold on. We got to make a shout out. Shady, if you're listening, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We celebrated last night, but today's your real birthday.
He's probably sleeping right now.
Yeah, he's probably knocked out. Probably wake up in a couple hours.
So, the guys that we have here today, I'm sure you guys on Facebook Live and watching the video, you probably see the guys right here already. I've seen the brand since 10 years ago, I want to say, or a little bit 9 or 10 years ago when I was in college. I saw the brand coming out and I didn't really understand it until later on, 6 years after that, when actually some of my friends started working in the brand as well. And that's when I was like, whoa, they're doing something big in the community. Maybe you've seen it, a couple people wearing shirts that say Educated Latino, Educated Latina. You might have seen the Chicago Skull, which is the one that Chris is wearing right now, if you want to wave on the Facebook Live. You've probably seen that shirt around. You've probably seen the Hecho in Chicago shirt, which I have, and my mom has one too. But we have here today El Corillo from No Manches Clothing Company. How are you guys?
Good.
Right. Are you awake, man?
Buenos dias.
What's up?
They're still sleeping, man. Is it too early for you guys? You good?
Nah, we good.
We got some water here for you guys too. I want to thank you guys for coming by today. You know, we definitely wanted to have a conversation. I use this to pick your brain, but I'm sure a lot of people out there might have questions as far as how did you start the company? You know, why did you start the company? Maybe there's people out there that are trying to get into the game as well in other areas in the United States or maybe outside of the U.S. But I also like to highlight Latinos in the community that are doing something within the community as well. And I was talking to George, right?
Yeah.
Before we started recording the podcast, where I know that you guys have a big presence around the Pilsen community as well in Little Village. And it's something that we might get into conversation later on in the podcast of the gentrification that's going on in the area. But I wanted to start it off. If you guys can introduce yourself real quick, we'll start with Miguel here. You're the owner of the company?
Yeah, I'm one of the owners of the company. My name is Miguel Angel Cambray. Southside born and raised, little village.
He's like, I'm done.
What do you like for an intro? No, I like long walks in the park. Favorite color is red.
Okay.
You know, put my social out there, my address.
But you've been with No Manches from the beginning?
In its inception. Actually, historically, the project started with two neighborhood friends. It actually originated in the back of the yards. So that's really where the brand actually sort of idealized itself from. So it's really a Southside kind of thing that sort of evolved into sort of a nationwide kind of thing. We've been blessed enough to even have sales outside of the U.S. as well. Wow. So it's kind of a crazy experience and journey. But originally it started with two sort of childhood friends that sort of developed it from its inception. I've been a part of the org for some years now as well. It, like you said, it kind of started some years ago, but was dormant for a little while, and then we kind of resurrected it a couple years back to kind of sort of bring it to fruition. And it's evolved. It's evolved with the types of people that have been a part of the process. So I've been a part of that process for a couple years now. Yeah.
Nice. So we also have Chris right here on my right hand side. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Chris. Southside Chicago. I like tacos. Yeah, what's up?
So we brought everybody from the south side over to the north side today for this interview.
Man,
huh?
It was kind of weird coming this side of the 290, man. I had to call my abuelita, ask for permission on the way over here.
And we have George with us here too.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Jorge Perez. Born in Little Village, but grew up mostly in Cicero area. Like these guys, you know, south side also.
Awesome.
That's West Little Village.
That's West Little Village.
There it is. Cicero's West Little Village.
If you wanna unhook the mic here,
yeah,
so
I
you
think
can
it'd
feel
be better, man.
Yeah, you can feel comfortable and chill. If you guys wanna do the same thing, go ahead.
I just I didn't want to come off too informal. You know, I tend to just get real comfortable, but
it's all good.
Sitting upright makes me feel out of character.
So you mentioned that the brand started out with two friends in back of the yards area.
Yeah.
What was the main concept behind it when they first started out?
Well, ideally, that's where the name came from, actually. Shout out to Rolando and Jesse, who kind of really cultivated the idea of if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, so it was a predominantly black culture in terms of attire and street attire and urban wear. And there wasn't a lot of Latino sort of contextualization outside of the Cholo, you know, the Ben Davis, the Dickies, you know. The Cortezes and things like that. So the idea just came conception to how do we sort of materialize ourselves within an actual shirt, right?
Yeah.
And that was the idea. So if you know them or you know us, the personality is really what drives our brand. It's hard because folks will be like, you know, a lot of the times we design things not only to be sort of appropriate to wear and kind of like it doesn't become like a wash my car t-shirt, but it's something that you know what I'm saying? You go to a concert and you buy that one tee for that day, but then
a
year later you're washing your car with it. So we definitely want to not become that brand. But their imagery at the time, it was really around satire. So the humor kind of drove the brand in its early days of making fun of like Sesame Street, Coca-Cola, brand names. And it's just some real heavy satire. And the reaction from people like No Manches came from the people, which is
okay.
And sometimes we kind of say we're a brand of the people. And I know it's kind of cliche, like for the people, by the people, I pledge allegiance, whatever. But we truly are that, man. We really listen to our people and the folks that we've come across in our own life experiences, and we just slap them in imagery, man.
And that's great too that you mentioned, for those that are listening that might not know what No Manches means, for example, I know it's a term, you know, for us Puerto Ricans we might not know what it means, but it's a term that a lot of Mexicanos use now from back in the day to nowadays, right?
Yeah, man. So No Manches, literally, if you see our logo, is don't stain. That's like the little translation.
Like a mancha.
Yeah. So that's the, so if you look at our logo, it's kind of like the Ghostbuster symbol with the mancha in the middle, right?
Yeah.
So that's really where that imagery comes from. But the No Manches comes from, it's like a euphemism or like a, like a term of when someone exaggerates the truth. Like, you know, like my boy George, he be feeling skinny. We laugh at him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he be like, I'm gonna get some skinny jeans, but he got those chuleta thighs, you know what I mean? So that's really like when someone exaggerates the truth, you know, like Chris be coming with his weekend stories about this and that and how many dudes he fought or whatever, but he was doing gardening with his mom all weekend, you know. So No Manches is sort of the PG-13 version of, like, you know, kind of like stop messing around sort of. So it's kind of, people laugh at it. So a lot of our elders also, they gravitate to the name before the actual product. So that's a real interesting thing to watch, like tias and abuelitas laugh at us. Like, how'd you name your brand No Manches, right? Like, because it's a funny term.
And that's one of those interesting things too, because you might be walking and be like, oh damn, like you see the logo or you see the name, like you mentioned, you start laughing, but you already caught their attention to look at the designs. Now, as I mentioned before, and you were mentioning before, the satire behind your designs, I always loved, and I have to highlight the shirt that says the Educated Latino, because it has like the old school, not old school, they still use it nowadays, but it has like that explicit content warning label that you might see on a rap album, or you might see, like, even we have it on our show too, because we do curse on here. How did that idea come out? How did that design come out?
So a lot of it comes from our own lived experiences. Even going back to its inception, I think part of our philosophy and mission is to have a reflective cross-generational brand. So I think for us, it's as important as, you know, I know now we're living in an era of free to everything. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and in some way it's cool, and in some way it's kind of like you got to be careful, right? Because like Che Guevara being sold at Target is a contradictory message.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So part of our brand is to be socially conscious of those kinds of things. So we want to be careful with sort of capitalizing on our actual cultura. Right.
Yeah.
So we take that into mind. The other thing is, we're also a couple buffoons, right? So when you think about our family-oriented brand, which it is, we fight like a family, we love like a family. It's really important for us that we also evolve, you know, with time, you know. So, you know, we've received some cease and desist letters back in the day, right?
Man.
I mean, that's when you know you kind of, people are starting to bootleg us now. So
yeah.
It's sort of a compliment and a curse at the same time. So As we evolved in our own personal maturation as a community and personally, we also evolved the imagery to sort of complement some of that. And I think that we're living in a day and age where we still have to be real proud. I mean, I just came from Colorado, and I have a guy in Arizona rocking the shirt you talked about, Educated Latino. I mean, getting off a plane in Arizona, right, with the shirt that clearly says, you know, hey, be careful, I'm an educated Latino. Yeah. That's a statement, right?
Especially in that area.
That's a powerful statement, man. And I think that our communities have evolved as well. So that shirt specifically came from the idea of the growing population of college-age Latinos and the ability to sort of even challenge the status quo on, like, you know, the lack of graduated Latinos, right? So that's been one of our Haymarket populars as well, with a lot of college-age youth, a lot of Latino centers across the country who want to kind of congratulate their graduates. It's sort of a rites of passage kind of team.
It is, yeah. And it's not a t-shirt that you will, like you mentioned earlier, it's not something that they're going to go ahead and wash their car with. It's something that came with a purpose, right? Like you mentioned, they probably just graduated. It was a gift that one of the guys gave them or whatever. And they don't want it. They're not going to go ahead and use that to wash their car. So it was a very, I like the thought behind it, and I like the concept behind it, because it's something that's going to live on for a very long time. Now, I do want to ask, what was the first design that you guys ever made?
Well, as a company, we got to go back to the vaults for those. But, you know, things like Gringo, El Mojado, which is one of the ones that got cease and desist from Sesame Street, right? Because you can't make fun of Elmo like that, especially call him a mojado. So we have a vault of just, like, original tees.
Hecho en Chicago,
Curvas Peligrosas. So there's been a lot in terms of our vault of what were the predominant ones in the beginning.
And is one of you guys the one that come up with all the ideas, or is it a collective of,
like,
all of you?
Like, how did you start with two neighborhood friends, right?
How did
you guys come to be? Who else is involved? Like, two people, where is it at now? How did that all come into fruition like that?
Yeah,
my grandma prints the shirts.
Let's help her.
Yeah.
We actually small community. So I grew up with both of them too as well in terms of our college aides and our community organizing. So the business in itself kind of took a dormant position, and then they kind of parted ways, and I kind of came into the company years after as well. And part of the resurrection was sort of growing it as well. So in terms of how we got to the familia we begin, I think it's like touch points. I mean, obviously some of us are related. Some of us grew up together. Some of us we met along our journeys. And it's really, it's funny because NMC is like the type of a brand that that you gravitate to rather than get scouted, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So we've come to grow because you can't do it by yourself. I mean, you can't be a designer, yeah, printer, and I can't digitally design for the life of me, but I'll hit you up with like some graffiti or something like that, you know, the art creativity. So the designs, I like to see them as it's a really thoughtful process. The printing the shirt is probably the easiest part because you just kind of, let me take that back. It's the least, it's the most physically difficult process. But you should see our ideas vault. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it really goes through a screening process with everybody. So even that educated, it went through a process. So by the time it gets to actual tea, we've already thought it out through the process. So it's a collective. In short, so someone conceptualized the idea like, oh man, imagine this, and then one of the digital designers, like shout out to Jesus or George, they'll be like, let me take the design and put it into an imagery, right? Or some of the artists that we work with, like this has been a collective with like Roberto Alades, who's already a Pilsen artist as well, and we've had a collective of digital designers over time that have really supported our mission. And it comes from a collective of passion because we still broke, right? So we still broke. I mean, when you grow up working poor, right? It becomes almost impossible to get out of poverty. Yeah. So it's a collective. It's a collective of brains, ideas, and passion. So.
But I mean, you said like people. This is a company that you don't have to scout people out. People just come to you. So what? I mean, I guess I want to hear from you guys too. Like, mm-hmm. What brought you specifically? What is it about the mission? Why is
Yeah, you go ahead.
Well, for me, it was, I guess, back at Lewis University, where so I was still fresh. I was a sophomore, junior, and I was still very, I guess, I was part of a fraternity that I was such a neo in that anything that had to do with Latin America or with the Latino culture, I wanted to be about it. I wanted to do about it.
Right.
And then. I met Miguel here at Lewis as well, and then he pretty much told me about the clothing company, how a lot of our stuff has to do with either Chicago or with the Latino culture. So I was like, okay. Then I started seeing some of the images that they had, like they had Zapata, the Educated Latino, the Hecho in Chicago, the Frida, and I was like, oh, like this caught my attention a lot. So I was like, okay, it kind of has to do with a little bit of my fraternity, so I could kind of use what I learned with my fraternity. And then learn more about NMC, and then like that way I could not only sell to the people, but better understand it and just get more knowledgeable of the material as well.
You know, a lot of times too, when we're looking at a t-shirt, right? Like, let's just say someone who's never seen a No Manches shirt, or you know, even like La Verdad stuff, you might think twice, like, oh man, like that's a cool concept. Like, I'm looking at the skull right now, and for those who are watching on Facebook Live. And I look at it, and I'm like, okay, you probably zoom in there. You first see it as a Chicago, right? This is a Chicago flag. And then you look into it a little bit more, and it's like the sugar skull, right, that they'll use for Dia de los Muertos. So if I'm somebody that's looking out, I'm probably going to research Chicago skull and then eventually find that and the meaning behind it. So I feel like with T-shirts especially, you are making a statement by just walking around with whatever shirt you have. I know you guys have the other one, though, Don Ramon, right, that has like the chain on it. And if you don't know, you might not know who he is, right? Let's say you've never grew up watching, what is it, the show? El Chavo del Ocho. But then you might go ahead and Google Don Ramon, and right there, I feel like you guys planted the seed for that person to understand what the culture and the meaning behind that shirt.
Well, not only that, but I think another thing, too, is that we're trying to connect different avenues. So a hip-hop fan's going to get that Kango hat. You know, mm-hmm. A hip-hop fan's going to get that gold chain. So that's going to be where it's first going to come into. So Latino's going to catch on to that. And then you connect those two things together. It's just kind of like connecting those avenues, connecting those streets.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to do, you know, bring Latino with every other aspect that is us, you know.
Yeah.
So with our roots, you know, we're more than just, you know, brown people, you know.
Yeah.
We're
I like that idea, too, of being able to connect, you know, hip-hop with Latino because, I mean, believe it or not, or if you want to accept it or not, Latinos played a big role in the hip-hop culture, you know. So I like the fact that we're able to unite them together and kind of bring out what the viejitas might be able to like, right? Or they might be able to como se dice, relate to Don Ramon, right?
Yeah.
And then you put a little chain on them and a Kango has like, oh shit, a little Cool J, you know. It's like kind of like that correlation together. Now what I do want to ask is, have you gone through any growing pains being that you started out with two people? I mean, I only say it selfishly because, you know, through La Verdad, we're going through the growing pains, right? So it started out with just myself and another person, and then you start getting other people in the team, and it's like, oh, hell no, I want to do it my way, man. I'm the one that started, you know. So it's like, what has been a growing pain, and how have you dealt with it?
Man, you brought up a real. I'm a like
you're
this. Like
break
Don
us
Francisco
up right now.
Gonna
you're
start
break
crying.
Us up
like,
right now,
man, forget this shit. I'm done. This is it. You know, honestly, man, it's like relationships are complex, man. But I want to go back a little bit to what JoJo was saying about intersectionalities. I think that we are a complex humanity, and I think that we try to reflect that through what we do, whether it's in touch with our. I think it's really important for everybody to know that part of our intentionality is to be in touch with our indigenous roots, our Afro roots,
yeah.
Our African roots, our native roots, our cross-cultural roots, our immigrant roots, our native-born roots, right? So I think we just have so many intersectionalities. If you throw in sexuality, class, you know, gender, you know, and I think for us it's vital that we reflect that, right? Because the shirt's your reflection, to be really honest with you.
Yeah.
So when people walk into our booth, it's amazing. You know, you guys are more than welcome to spend a day with us at our events and venues. They see themselves in the actual product, necessarily not us necessarily telling you that product's better than that product. So that's part of our magic, I guess, right? Like, you know, the idea of how you could take something like the label of a CD that your mom didn't let you buy because that's the first thing she'd look at to now, you know, you forcefully wear it. And in terms of the growing pains, though, we're like familia, man. I'm not sure if y'all in a relationship or not, but relationships are complex, man. You know, so, yes. You know, like one day I could love my wife, and the next day I can just not like her, right? Like that's what family is, yeah. And then you go through your stretch marks, right? And then you actually go through learned lessons, right? You make some mistakes along the way, and you make some decisions that later on you look back and be like, man, we could have done it a little bit different. So, and then it comes also with the finances and the physical growth, right? Like, I'm sure investing into microphones, or, you know, maybe you started with just your computer camera your Bluetooth or something, right? So it comes with that. For us, but those moments, kind of like fraternal experiences. Some of us have different fraternal experiences, maybe not validated by universities, but those experiences create resilience, right? When you go through those hard times, or you go through those like grunge moments, it creates a stronger bond when you get through them, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like most things. So those moments for us have done that. I mean, I'll never forget the day that we reincorporated and our first venue was Mole de Mayo. It was smaller at the time. I think now it's all over the news and stuff like that.
Festival,
yeah, man. Back in the day, it was only like 15 of us, you know, on a side street. But we went to print, and we had like a one-color screen. So we kind of reached out to a buddy who had a basement set up, and none of us ever still screened before. And so the guy decides to tell us like 2 days before, I'm not making any of your shirts.
So you gotta make it yourself. Huh?
So, well, we made them. we showed up in some stranger's basement, and like 24-hour process, just silk screened our own shirts and Kinko's and burning screens and things that we had no idea about. So when you talk about growing pains, like you know, when I look at Chris and like the spoiled system he has now with with heaters, machines, and then he still complains, you know, it's those growing moments, right? And then some of us became digital artists through this process. So some of us didn't study it for a living and we just become that. Yeah. So, but it made it stronger. You made it stronger. And then there's those that you, there's some folks you grow up with and then some folks you grow away from. Yeah. And that's just the way life is sometimes.
And it would be a growing pain, too, just like a relationship, right? So you have to grow away apart from that person. But to break it down real quick, too, so No Manches, you guys make your own shirts, right? So you do. So for those that might not know.
Show them the blisters, Chris.
Before we continue, though, they could find anything of any of the shirts of No Manches online, right? So on.
Sí, puede visitar a la www.nomanches.net. Yeah, man. But we're a virtual store. We're also at the Fine Arts Museum, which is a blessing as well. And we're also at a Katrina Cafe on 1800 South Morgan.
Nice. And you guys do print your own shirts,
right? We do.
So how's that process, Chris?
Chris?
My hands still hurt. It's when I first started, it was a very difficult process. Honestly, George, actually, he was the one that taught me everything that I know. Day in, day out, just getting so frustrated, getting so angry, trying to line up everything, trying to get everything so perfect. And little by little, I mean, I'm still learning today. It sucks, but I mean, I feel like it's really worth it. It's a big struggle.
Do you get a satisfaction of when you see that shirt that you printed and somebody else is rocking it? Like,
oh, hell yeah. All that blood, sweat, and tears that go into those shirts, yeah. Every time when I see one...
Why you lying? Your tears don't even reach the machine, bro. Why you lying?
When I wipe them, they fling over to the shirt.
We had to get him a stepping stool when he started, man. Because JoJo's obviously a little bit taller than the boy Chris.
And in the printing machines, is it just every single color you have to... pass a different paint, right?
Every color has to do a paint. And then, for example, like the Chicago Skull... I had to hit it at least 6 times. So I had to do 2 hits of white, a hit of red, hit of blue, and then the black.
So for those who might not know how screen printing actually works, it's an actual art screen,
form.
Right?
It's an art form. It's an art form.
But there's a lot of labor behind it. I've seen some videos, you know, of people doing it. I think I've seen your Snapchat and all that. But it's actual, you know, you're throwing paint on top, you know, ink. And then you're actually physically rolling that on top, you know. So it's not going through... It's not going through this automatic machine.
Yeah, that's
right?
One of our biggest pet peeves because we also give out. We also do custom work. I mean, you did some of your shirts with us.
Our first shirts, by the way, big shout out. Our first shirts that we ever printed was with No Manches. So.
Yeah, and then you stopped coming back, but whatever. So a lot of folks. One of our biggest pet peeves was folks think that we're like those mall printers. Where they could bring like your abuelita, rest in peace, Juju love forever. Okay. And then you. So they get really discouraged. But one of the things that we try to be as honest with people as possible. So like people are like, hey, make my team and numbers and last names. But we actually have to burn it. There's a process. So every color is a burn screen. And then every color is an additional layer to the shirt. So like if you do 2 color front, 3 color back, that's 5 colors. But folks will be like, no, we don't want to pay that, right? So it is a pet peeve sometimes. And then it's also, you know, I'm glad George calls it an art form because part of the design is an art form. And then, you know, like when you think about, and I'm not comparing us to Banksy at all, but his is a digital art form. And then he just kind of throws it up on the wall. It's not like he does a mural every time he hits a wall or a canvas. So sometimes we don't get accepted also in the art culture as well because... You know, they think it's kind of like a print and press system. Yeah. So it's always like, again, just like Latinidad, you're fighting for your identity, right? Yeah. so is the silk screening process. So, and JoJo's really, he's really navigated that, self-taught, like 1,000 hours of YouTube and stuff like that. So
it's the best way to do it, man.
Yeah, so thanks for validating that work, man. So some folks, and the worst part too is when our people, it's funny because we talk about this in-house all the time, like, we don't go to Macy's and be like, hey, give me 2 for $5, right? We don't go pick any of your favorite brands, right? Yeah. We don't go to them or Polo and be like, hey, how much for 3, right? But for some reason, you know, within our own selves, we want to kind of like broker that, right? Yeah. And that was a, it's hard for us, right? Because sometimes we want to stay accessible to the people. So if you realize we've been consistent and stagnant with our income, so like our shirts don't go higher. So mm-hmm. like even though right now market value for a tee, just even with that one print, yeah. folks are selling them for $32 right yep, now. So yep. that's the market value for a tee. But not us. We kind of want to be a shirt of the people, right? It, once we start separating ourselves from that, then we kind of lose that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask too. You know, obviously you're a Latino-based business, right? Very family-oriented. Like, how do you feel that you compare? I mean, you said before that you don't want to be the shirts that we wash our cars with. And you kind of answered that. But how else do you feel that you compare to other, just whether they're t-shirt companies, clothing companies, or Latino, other Latino businesses? How do you feel you compare, and how do you want to, like, stand out? Besides what you already
said. Who wants to shoot? Anybody? I feel like I'm doing all the talk. I'm so passionate, by the way. And I'm a teacher, and I just get up. I think a part of it, we do a lot of market research. So, like, when we first began, we went into going back to the lessons learned. Your product value is as good as the product itself. So sometimes, like, when you think about a throwaway shirt, it shrinks, it like fades real quick or things like that. So for us to differentiate ourselves from other brands is we do like market research. Like, what are they selling at the Gap in terms of material? What are they selling at Nordstrom's as material? So we look at some of the higher quality products. And then the other thing is it's a this whole still screening clothing industry is a whole process. So we've traveled to like Vegas to the clothing conventions and stuff like that. So we've really have educated ourselves of what makes a better brand or what makes a stronger brand. Where we fall short is the economics. Right, so we're self invested. So what the money we make we reinvest. So nobody's getting rich anytime soon. But that's how we evolved. That's how we've been able to buy better equipment. That's how we've been able to buy better systems. So the way that our vision has always been that one day we'll get that phone call from some kind of large, you know, distributor and saying, hey, we've heard of your product, yeah. and we definitely want to sit down and have a conversation about how do we distribute it across the country, right? So that's the idea. So the idea is get your brand to the level where it can compete at that level. So to test our theory, we kind of bought a 6-month lease at one of the malls outside of Little Village in Pilsen intentionally yeah. to see how we can compete in a foreign market. And we did exceptionally well. We did exceptionally well. And that was really a coming out for us to realize that we can compete with the best of them. We just have to find those markets that we could integrate ourselves to. So I guess the next phase for our brand is going to be to find those markets and start getting into those brands.
So aside from actually doing the 6-month lease that you guys did and that kind of give you an idea of what people want, any other marketing strategies that you're focusing on in order to grow the brand? I know social media nowadays tends to be like the way you validate, right? Nowadays, it's like, oh, I got this many followers or I got these many likes, for example. What are you guys doing as far as social media? Is that a real big way for you guys to grow your following?
Oh, well, I think, I run the Instagram and we all look at a little part of it. I think one of the things is we never want to lose ourselves or lose our people and our roots where we come from. So we wouldn't be nothing without any of our fans, as cliche yeah. as that sounds. So if you look at all of our pictures, all of our, everything we post is strictly to our roots, or it's either our fans. We don't use no models. We don't use anything. All our fans tag us. Wow. We try to stay engaged with them and, you know, connected with them. And that's what they are, because, you know, without them, then we honestly wouldn't be anything.
And that's pretty cool too. Like, I've seen that you guys actually use fan-based, right? Like, people will take their own selfie, right, with a shirt, and they'll tag you guys to it. And some of those pictures are like phenomenal. Like, they look like they actually went to a studio and did it. We've actually encountered the same kind of issue. Like, I noticed, for example, I was looking at another brand, I think I forgot the name, but they had like stock photos, right, and everything looked really professional and they had a bunch of numbers, but to me it was kind of losing the roots of right. where it came from, right? And one of the things that we've done is that we always like to have, like, you know, my mom rocking a shirt, right? And have her take a picture and show it, because I want the average person to see it and be like, yeah, I could fit into that shirt. It's not like I have to be an Instagram model to do it. Is that kind of the same concept that you guys have, or is it just like people are just sending it to you guys and you just want to make sure that you show them off?
Well, we try hard to just be as natural as possible. So one thing, just like our personality, so are our body types. Latinos are, you know, and the food is so delicious across Latin America. So, you know, we've also been known to be the gordito brand, right? just because they see our pictures online. But really, we actually also stay away from trying to body shame folks. And we even go as far as, like, let's say the manufacturer that on a certain element of shirt only goes up to a 2X or whatever, but someone's really trying to get into a 5X or larger or whatever it is, we go out of our way to get it done. So a part of it is just being as natural as possible. Like JoJo said, it's about showing our reality of who we are. And we could be models, we could be, you know, regular. Those are the favorite moments of our brand. So we try to be as consistent as possible with that, and very intentional, man, because part of our freeing our minds is also freeing our insecurities of oppression, right? So especially if you grew up Latino, we definitely color shame, we body shame, we height shame. No diss to our elders, but they were raised that way, right? You know, like if you're güerito and blue eye, you're gonna be a beautiful Latino, right? If you're dark skinned, you're gonna be the bad guy in the movie, right? Like it's just so we try to sort of reverse that so we can start freeing ourselves from that insecurity. So we're glad, like JoJo said, a lot of our fans really gravitate to that. And we definitely love food as a clique. I don't know what it is, but man, we that's why we don't do festivals. We eat more than we sell, man. So I started banning festivals because these guys just want tortas and tacos all day. But with that said, you can follow us up on Snapper Chatter.
Instagram, Insta- No Manches Clothing
Instagrammer,
Company. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, No Manches Co.
The little bird thing. I'm old, man. These guys are putting me on. Like,
are you on MySpace or what?
Nah, I don't even know. I was running the MySpace, so these guys came along talking about we got to evolve, man. I got like 12 people on my Snapchat, man. That's how lame.
I remember a couple, like I think last year or something like that, you guys posted that someone bootlegged one of your shirts, and I know we just talked about it earlier. You were mentioning that, you know, back in the day, people will send you letters. Now you're sending letters about that. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, man. We wish we're not the letter type. Just to put that out there.
We're the South Side.
We had to pay a couple of visits. You know, it is flattery to some degree, right? But then there's this sort of like this. Hurtfulness to the thought of taking something that's not yours, right? Stealing per se, right? And you know, we had to address the situation like gentlemen, right? Just giving some very strong, thoughtful warnings about, you know, not manufacturing something that's not yours. And then the dude was trying to sell them 2 for $10, right? And you just like,
hey,
what are you doing? You're not even bootlegging right, you know? So for us, it was a form of flattery, but it was also a form of consciousness about lived and learned. So we do copyright our imagery and stuff like that. And a lot of our imagery, believe it or not, we sketch it before design. So someone can't be like, no, I Google it and it was there, right? And yeah. I just changed the colors and now it's mine or whatever. So we're really thoughtful about that process as well. And one thing that we also hold ourselves accountable is not only the bootleggers, it's also the idea of us stealing other people's ideas. Mm. So before we go to print or design with anything, we just do some market analysis just to make sure it's not already out there, right? Because we're not the first people to think of a Frida shirt. Yeah. We're not the first people to think of a Selena shirt. We're not the first people to think about these things. So we also want to make sure that we're also socially conscious of like other people's hustles, and that we're not out there replicating or taking away from their market impact.
And has it been a little shaky whenever you do like a Selena shirt or you do like a, let's say, a Frida shirt? I don't know exactly if they have any type of if it's dominio proprio, everybody could use it, or is it copywritten for them to use only? What kind of struggles have you gone through that?
We do, man. So you got to be informed with the laws of copyright, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But like even the Frida that you bring up, that's a Robert Valadez piece, right? Mm-hmm. So we work with the person who actually painted that. So the idea, like, when, as long as we have his permission, we're headed in the right sort of trajectory or whatever. So, but something like Selena, it's a slippery slope that we also are very mindful of as well. But we just have to make sure that the image we curate is not existing somewhere else, right? So, and that's our way to try to sort of respect that in a way. Yeah. But it's also an internal conflict too. You know, because like you brought up Echo. I'm so tired of Echo, but it's like it's the best shirt that folks can gravitate to, even like the White Sox and stuff like that.
Exactly.
But even if you think of an Echo, that's like the Echo in Mexico, right?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, they just kind of modified it to be a Chicago system. And even that got modified from its original form.
Yeah.
So
I could tell, you know, sometimes it might be a little tricky where if you're modifying something, someone might get offended or. You know, I feel like we also go through the same thing. Like, we might do a podcast, right? And we're talking to someone and we ask them a question and no one saw that person in that image, right? So we just got a question out of them and people are like, oh, why are you guys are asking these questions or why are you guys making them look this way? It's like, no, it's just la verdad, you know, it's the truth behind it. Aside from, so out of all the shirts that you guys sell, any other apparel that you've done or you're thinking about doing, like, for example, snapbacks or socks nowadays are like a big thing, you know?
We definitely thought of it all, man. The problem is doing it right and then the investment capital. You know, so what we've learned from these clothing expos that we visited across the country, man, everything really comes from the Asias. And it's really, we really have this battle about do we want to be from the Asias, right, as a brand, right? So that gets harder and harder, right? So. We don't know where we're evolving to, but definitely I think our brand has, so the part of the reincorporation, even though we do business as No Manches Clothing, technically we can be a marketing firm, which is something that people gravitate to us too, like, hey, design a logo for me. Now you're talking about marketing. You're no longer talking silk screening, right? Because the guy at the mall, he won't design a marketing logo for you. So we've been invited to the table to do some of that. So the future of NMC is bright. The hesitation has been we all do this part-time. Some of us have, like, you know, we're Batman and Robin at night only, but during the day we're selling newspapers and washing cars and doing whatever we have to do. So, but I've really set a marker that as soon as I'm done with school, I'm going to give I got to give NMC 2 feet in. So some of us have been in school throughout the years and things like that. So that's, I think, another thing that people should know about our brand, that the folks behind it are really doing it. Right. So when you opened up and talked about we doing it for the community, honestly, we don't see it that way as a sense of purpose. We just do.
Yeah.
So, you know, growing up around education and being a part of education. I mean, I've been in education for 16 years. Right. So when you talk about when I started my career 16 years ago. So I started my career 16 years ago. So we really are about it. Like, so we take it from the streets to the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been a part of our larger image, right? Yeah. Like doing conferences and classroom appearances and things like that. So the next stages of No Manches, we ain't going nowhere. You know, right. That's the truth. You know, we just growing more and more. So now we're going to do a collab with La Verdad, and then I'm going to sue them for
copyrights.
Let's
do it, man.
You know, I'm going to kind of come at them for trying to be like us. But then they're like, but we're more Puerto Rican, man. Nah, I'm just playing.
No, one of the things, too, one of the reasons that I was talking to George about this before we started recording was that we've been kind of focusing a lot in the Puerto Rican community these last couple of podcasts, and I wanted to reach out to somebody that's a little bit more, like you mentioned, you know, back of the yards, little village, Pilsen. It's beautiful areas in Chicago, and there's a lot going on right now that perhaps a lot of our listeners do not know that's happening right now. But I know you guys have a spot in La Catrina and the Mexican Fine Arts Museum, which is in Pilsen as well. Can we talk a little bit about the gentrification going on in Pilsen? How has that has it affected you guys? Has it helped you guys? Do you have people coming in there with a completely radical different mindset? Like, oh, I want a shirt about this, or I don't agree with what you guys are doing, or how has it been? Has the reception been now that Pilsen's gentrifying a little bit?
I think a lot of the times when people look at our social media following and the growth spurt, I mean, don't get it twisted. Some of it could be haters just watching what you're doing, just trying to watch you fall. But I think gentrification, man, that's a it's nothing new. You know, it's nothing new. I mean, if you think about New York and the East Coast, and you think about California and Chicago, man, I mean, being oppressed has been in its inception since enslavement, right? So, yeah. You know, gentrification is no different. Folks don't want it till you beautify it, and then they want it, and then they want to call it theirs. So it's a real slippery slope for us, because a part of us want to be open to all cross cultures and all communities, but in a socially conscious way where we don't become part of the same mechanisms of oppression. Yeah. So when personally, none of us live in Pilsen. So when you talk about that personal direct impact, some of us can't even afford to live in Pilsen, right? So when you talk about gentrification and how it impacts us, if you can't afford to live where you grew up, that's a problem, right? Yeah. And when you think about the Pilsen or the little village of the 80s and the 90s, right? That's how we got into Cicero. I mean, when you talk about, like, migration patterns of any Latino or people of color, man, until los güeros want it, right? And folks need to understand that, you know, development happens 20 years before you see it.
Yeah.
Right? So Papa Daley segregated Chicago intentionally. There's no doubt about that. It's not a coincidence. It's not accidental. Mm-hmm. It's not a coincidence that Wrigley Field is blowing up. It's not a coincidence that, you know, Lincoln Park was once an actual immigrant neighborhood without running water, right? Yep. Or the first Spanish-speaking church was in front of UIC, right? Because that's where the immigrant workers would want to go and take mass. So think about it. People would come from Indiana, Michigan, to just get church on Roosevelt and Halsted, right? You go to Roosevelt and Halsted today,
completely different.
Exactly, man. Like, I went to UIC, so I tell guys all the time, like, Jewtown. Used to be Jewtown, man. Used to get some kicks, some polishes, porno, and socks. All in the same line, man. Like, you didn't even have... Yeah, you didn't have to... You didn't have to get... You know, you used to go to La Garra, La Flea Market. Now people put vintage in front of that shit. I'm it's a flea market. Que vintage ni que chingada. Es ropa usada, right? Like, call it what it is, you know? So it affects us in different ways. But on the gentrification is never positive, because it's the displacement of poor people, right? Or original inhabitants. Mm-hmm. Even if you think about what we did to the Native Americans in this country, man, we've been gentrifying this land. You know, my sons are tripping out. I took them to a trip to Colorado, and I made them go see some of the indigenous spaces and stuff. Yeah. You know, because folks don't really realize how we've all been a part of gentrification, including us sitting at this table, right? Because it's the part of the process of the youngest country in the world, man. Mm-hmm. But it's never cool, man. And if you grew up in those spaces like Pilsen, right now you see a lot of the conflict of people just fighting for their own spaces, man. Yep. You know, and now it's like cool to be an artist or cool to be an activist and cool to look like Brad Pitt on with the weekends. You know what I mean? And it gets a little complex, you know, for us, you know, because we're still dying out there. So, like, you know, I know he made a joke of, like, hey, you looking to take, like, a white person could dress like me today and be fine wherever they go.
Yeah.
Man, I go into a little village a little bit the wrong way, and I'm still impacted by our neighborhoods or the way we live. But gentrification is just, you know, taking advantage of the people that live there, and they're capitalizing on it. And it's usually people who don't even live here, which is the worst part, man. Like these New York investors and stuff like that. So it's kind of a trend. It's be careful, man, when you talk about gentrification. You're about to unleash.
Yeah, that's its own episode.
Didn't you see that a couple of activists knocked down? You were at Riddle Fest yesterday?
Yeah.
Did you see that they knocked down the wall that Home Depot thought it'd be cute to do a wall where people in Riddle Fest could decorate?
Wow. We saw it.
Like,
and what's going on with that?
So they knocked the wall down, man. Groups of people got escorted out, but that's a result of gentrification, right?
Yeah.
That you think you can come into this neighborhood, put up a wall, not to mention Home Depot's CEOs and investor into Trump and wants to get the wall deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what gentrification does.
It's very interesting, and I'm glad I brought it up to you guys, because I feel like you guys are there too. You're seeing it. We went through gentrification too within the Humboldt Park community. It's going through here. We're actually located recording in the Belmont Cragen neighborhood, and it's gentrified a lot. This used to be a Polish neighborhood, right? So we see it, especially with corporations going in. I grew up around the Logan Square community. The Logan Square is different from the Logan Square I grew up in.
We used to party on Milwaukee Avenue all the time.
Yeah, now it used to be really, really hood. And nowadays it's like the same spot where somebody was getting jumped on or whatever. Now it's like a Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
So it's a topic that I think we want to bring up a lot more.
I got a question though, man. Yeah. No offense. What's up with the beards in the North Side, man? Like,
it's a big thing. Hey,
man,
it's going,
y'all
it's,
looking
it's,
like
it's
some
starting to go over there too,
here,
man. It's starting to make it.
Flannels and beards. And like those Pharrell hats, and I'm like, what are people doing down here? It's like another planet when I come north,
yo,
man.
Yo, that's how we feel when we go to the south side. I feel like I'm in a different planet.
They're all gangbanging. They're all gangbanging. Son Ganguero, don't look out the window.
Hey, don't make eye contact, man. Hey, man, but I think that sums up what you guys are doing. I think the vibe is awesome. Thank you guys once again for coming by. We're definitely going to have to sit down and talk more about stuff that is happening in the community. But before we end the show, how can people find you? What are your social media handles? I know we mentioned it throughout the episode, but we have that one guy that's probably skimming all the way to the end to find out what the social media handle is. So if they want to find you, where do they find you?
Facebook is Facebook.com/Manchadores. Twitter is No Manches Co. Instagram is No Manches Clothing. And Snapchat is Enjoy Cultura. So that's where you can find us all in there. Now for our t-shirts.
Before No Manches Frida came out, that dumb movie or whatever it was, we used to be the first hit on Google. And organically, we never even paid for it. So she dropped us to number 2 or 3, but that's cool. You can't compete with Hollywood. But if you Google us and No Manches Clothing, you're more than likely to find all our feeds and stuff like that. We're definitely on 18th and Morgan. Come out and see us anytime. We're at some of our products at the Fine Arts Museum. We definitely do touring with festivals. If you want our product at your storefront, at your cafe, you know, we do that too, wholesale, and you want to sit down with us, catch us at your barrio, or just, you know, email us or call. That's always, we're not an industry where we have departments that do shit. We are the departments.
Yeah.
So, like, you hit up Facebook, but you're actually hitting me up, know what I mean? So we're not that big, so we're family friendly. Thank you for having us, man. You know, it was kind of, I don't know what to expect, you know, so...
Yeah.
You know, I called my guy off. I was like, hey, it's cool. Don't come. You know what I mean? Just in case things popped off in here. So. But thanks for having us out here, man.
And you guys also do custom printing as well.
Sure.
So if anybody looking for t-shirt printing, hit up No Manches.
We definitely work with a lot of nonprofit organizations, a lot of schools, a lot of teachers. We definitely support the service industry. So if you're a teacher, a cop, a firefighter, janitorial services. We're big fan of public services, so we definitely support. Also, we also contribute to a lot to undocumented student groups.
Okay.
So we're always supporting undocumented student groups. And you know, shout out to your org, you know, your fraternal org. We also support a lot of student clubs. So if your student club is looking for t-shirts and you know, you're always balling on a budget, give us a call, and we tend to support student clubs as well.
Awesome. So once again, I want to say thank you guys for coming by and stepping into the North Side for today. You might not find an elotero, but you might find a coquito man around the corner. Bueno, mi gente, once again, thank you guys for those watching on Facebook Live. God bless. Take care and peace.